Welcome to Problem Solve, the podcast where me and a special co-host solve all your problems really easily, probably. Hello and welcome to Problem Solved. I am Jeff Gunther, licensed professional counselor. I said professional weird, didn't I? Let me try that again. Licensed professional counselor. That's right. If you can believe it, I've been doing this for 20 years. And today we're going back to the original format where me and a co-host on today's episode, that co-host is Amanda Fever. She's a therapist just like me. You can find her on Instagram at The Climate Therapist. We've been friends for a very long time and I've looked up to her as a therapist the entire time. Somebody's calling in. Me and Amanda are going to give them advice. They're going to go away for a week and then come back and let us know if the advice worked. And through the magic of podcasting, you, the listener, don't have to wait an entire week to find out if the advice was good or bad. Isn't that nice? Isn't that satisfying? You are welcome. You know what you could do for me? Just real quick, right before the episode starts, can you just give me a review? 5 stars, preferably. Tell me how soothing my voice is. That would really make me happy. Okay, let's start the show. This is a podcast where we explore the intricate world of relationships and navigate the complexity of mental health together. I am Jeff Gunther, a licensed therapist, but in this space, I'm your host, not your personal therapist or the therapist for our guests. This show offers a platform for open conversations about relationship and mental health challenges, providing insights and perspectives for educational and entertainment purposes only. It's crucial to remember that our discussions do not replace professional therapy or constitute a therapist-client relationship between myself, our callers, or you, our listeners. If you're dealing with personal struggles or seeking support, I urge you to consult with a qualified professional who can provide the personalized care you deserve. Thank you for being here. Let's dive in. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Jeff.
Welcome to Problem Solved. I'm doing so good. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Yeah, we've been friends. We've known each other and been friends for a very long time, haven't we?
That's true. I don't even know how long.
About like 16 years, I think.
Oh my gosh.
Like that. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right. And we met because I used to rent part-time office space and you were a renter.
You were my landlord.
I was your landlord. That's right. Yeah. And then we became buddies.
We did. You really intrigued me. You had these really great Mr. Rogers sweaters and I could not stop looking at them and imagining you with your clients.
I've gone through different therapy like styles and at that time you caught me in these like in this cute little like therapist cardigan sweaters sort of thing that was going on. Yeah. And sometimes being a therapist, half of like the battle is just like picking the right outfit that seems healing to the client.
It's true. You don't have to try as much when you're virtual.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm really excited that you're here and you're going to be talking to Vicky, who has sort of like a classic problem of feeling really anxious at the beginning of a relationship. I've actually talked about this problem, a sort of different version of it, with my friend Julie Jeske, another therapist that's been on here. But I have a feeling Vicky is going to give us like a different style or perspective. And this is like such a common issue that I think that it's good for like you and I to talk about it and see what we can come up with.
That sounds great. I don't really know about that. I've never been anxious at the beginning of a relationship.
You're so cool. Interestingly.
So calm.
Yeah. I've also never been anxious at the beginning of a relationship.
I mean, I believe you.
Yeah.
You really hold it together. We're amazing.
So I can't wait for this call and I'm really excited that you're on it with me. And here we go. Hi, Vicky.
Hi. Nice to meet you both. Well, yeah. Jeff, I know, but nice to meet you, Amanda.
You too. Hi, Vicky.
Yeah, it's really great that you're here and we want to just dive in. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your problem and we'll try to help you out.
Okay, great. So this is a repeating problem that I have every time when I start dating someone new. is the lack of ability to kind of remain patient and actually have fun with the process of dating instead of kind of wanting to jump ahead and get to like the cozy over and love and everything's comfortable point in the relationship where you know where you guys stand, etc. I've been seeing someone for probably like 6-7 weeks, I guess. And it's so fantastic when we're in person and he's very consistent and great and plans dates and does all these things that I love. But when we're apart, he doesn't text very often and it makes me crazy. I get very anxious over it. And I think my go-to thing then is that I'll be like, oh, F this person, like, okay, fine. Like they don't like me and oh, they're over it. And I kind of get so far ahead. And just even like this last trip when I went home to LA, he came and picked me up from the airport, which not everyone does. And it was immediately great in person. But before that, I was like totally anticipating like, oh, it's over. Like it's done. He's just picking me up now because he said he would before when he knew that he liked me. And, you know, and he has conversed with me about like he had texted me saying like, oh, just thinking about you, like kiss emoji. And I was like, oh, I admittedly love being in touch all the time. And he's like, oh, like I'm not as much of a texter. I'm better in person, but I will try to text more, but like didn't really text that much more afterwards, at least not by my standard. Yeah. It's the anxiety of not how much texting is too much to expect of a person. Also like a lot of floating around of like, when do I talk about how much I just want to date him? And I don't know, is that stuff to work with? 'Cause I hope I've been clear enough, but, that's kind of where I'm at.
I totally get it. I understand. And a lot of us have a lot of difficulty being in that like uncertainty place of dating. And sometimes like the anxiety feels like anticipation and sexy tension and it's fun. And sometimes it feels like it's just like way too overwhelming and painful, you know?
Yeah. And I feel like I'm more the latter, like you said.
Yeah.
And just for context as well, him and I both were in long-term relationships prior. I was in one that was 5 years, broke up a year ago. He was in one that was 10 years and an open relationship, not by his choice. And I've made it very clear that I'm not interested in open relationships. I've been very clear about it. And he is not either, which is part of why he ended the last relationship. So both of us are kind of in vulnerable places. And we have discussed that as well of like, he said that he doesn't want to rush too much, but that he's infatuated with me and is loving where it's going.
Great. And you're in New York and he's in LA and sometimes you're in New York and your schedule is kind of back and forth, right?
Yeah. I'm basically on this kind of like contracted job in New York. So I'm back. I meet someone that I like 2 weeks before I'm leaving for New York. Mm-hmm. And he did come out and see me in New York on New Year's. Like, so he's made all this effort and he's already planned Valentine's Day. But my anxiety in my head is going insane.
Okay. Amanda, what do you think?
Well, I'm just really curious. Can we talk about your prior relationship really quick?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have anxiety like this in that?
In the beginning of it as well. I used to have major codependency issues when I was younger, which I did a lot of work on, a lot of like codependency meetings and a lot of therapy. And I got much better and I did the whole kind of, oh, you know, you need to be single in order to be ready for a relationship. I was single for 5 years and my last boyfriend was the first person that I started dating. And it was suddenly like, oh wow, all that being alone, no, all the anxieties come right back the second you start liking someone. Mm-hmm. So when I was dating him, I very much did want to speed things up and did want to know what we were and all these things, but I forced myself to constantly just be patient and to chill and to sit with all the excruciating anxieties and freaking out and wondering where we are, because I was like, just let him lead it for once instead of having to be in control.
That's hard work.
Yeah. So I did overcome it in that beginning thing. And so I think of it now of like, okay, it's worth practicing the patience again, but I wish I could just be comfortable in it. It's so difficult for me.
Yeah. I mean, it's so difficult for so many people. I think the majority of people don't like being in a liminal space.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's definitely part of the problem. When do you think you'll get to, like, what needs to happen in the relationship with you and the new boy so that you'll finally feel a little bit more like anxiety free and grounded?
It's hard to say. I guess, like, I mean, communication is obviously a very important thing to me. But I think it's just like, I need to feel like I'm chosen. Like he wants to be with me. And again, like his actions have been showing that. We went away by his choice. He like took me to Vegas for both of our weekends for birthdays. And he's shown his interest, but I guess it's like until he's kind of said like, hey, I want to just be dating you. And, you know, I don't even need like boyfriend, girlfriend title necessarily right away. I would like to get there, but it's this thing of like, I feel so stressed by not knowing if I'm chosen or not. And I am quite, and because of social media, I can see his ex and I'm quite threatened by the ex because she does all these amazing things. And I'm like, oh, maybe I'm not as cool as that.
Is there a part of you that's kind of like holding back from asking for more reassurance right now?
Yeah, I definitely feel, a little hesitant to bring it up. I mean, I've done things of like making it clear when he does text me, for example, being like, oh, it's so great to hear from you. You know, like reinforcing, like, this is awesome. Yes. And I did at one point, you know, I kind of asked like, do you still have residual pain from your last relationship? And he's like, oh yeah, for sure. And he's like, but like you do as well. He's like, not from the place of wanting to be back with that person, but there is still some leftover pain. And then I asked like, you know, where are you at now? Like, what are you wanting? He said, I don't really know what I want, but that doesn't mean that I'm not totally infatuated with you and loving the process of getting to know you and our whole experience together, which felt like enough to me. And then when we're apart though, I guess it's not enough because then I start really getting in my head again.
Yeah. And the, like the anxieties that come up, the narratives that are created, the story that you tell yourself, like, what are you specifically saying to yourself? Why do you start to doubt it?
Well, I'm getting emotional from that question. So
yeah.
I think it's just like, I don't know, being like worried I'm not enough. Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah, like comparing myself to their ex or like just being so scared that I'm going to invest in someone and get hurt again because I was very hurt by the last breakup, which kind of only, I really only broke off contact from them like 4 weeks ago. So.
Oh, wow. A lot. So it was a short amount of time.
Yeah. It was a year of kind of him constantly reaching out, but only wanting to be friends, me wanting to be more, it was not good. So I think I'm just scared to get hurt again, you know?
Yeah. Scared to get hurt again, scared that you won't be good enough, comparing yourself. Yeah, I get it. And it's tricky because you've only known him, or you've only been like dating him, I guess, for 6 or 7 weeks and you don't want to be too overwhelming. It seems like you want to like feel more solid in this relationship, but you also don't want to like reveal like this vulnerability maybe because you're afraid that like it could, like he may be too overwhelmed by it possibly. It seems like you're also getting the sense that he sort of wants to like move a little slower because there's some like, because he's also kind of like moving through some of his old relationship stuff and relationship pain.
And this, even this trip in Vegas, it was actually cute, but he like went through kind of like our whole text history, like from the very top. And he was like, I text you enough. And I was seeing all the texts and I was like, yeah, you do. But it more so like really texted a lot in the beginning and not kind of not as often now, but I didn't say that, but But then the uncomfortable thing was that we met on a dating app. We met on Raya, and he opened up my Raya profile, and I have admittedly updated some of my photos, and mm-hmm. one was a photo that he took, and he looked through the photos though, and he was just like, "Oh, look how cute you are." And in my head, I'm like, "Oh God, like now he's thinking that I'm dating all these other people, and I'm like wanting to be active on social or on dating apps." But he didn't seem bothered. He didn't bring up anything. But so it was a weird moment though of like, okay, so are you still on this dating app? Are you?
Yeah. And then you wonder that about him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I also think this thing happens where we feel really overwhelmed internally. You're experiencing some overwhelm. And then it sounds like you're so afraid to outsource that to him. So you try to stay really contained or even a little bit smaller. And that sounds uncomfortable.
Yeah, but then in person though, I mean, I have been very kind of open and vulnerable and made it very clear that I like him.
Oh, great.
And you know, kind of constantly am complimenting him and he says the same as well. And just even when I left this last time, he's like, "I'm gonna miss you," and I'm like, "I'm gonna miss you too." Mm-hmm. So that was nice. But I guess it's just with the contact in between seems to be.
Yeah, it sounds like it's when you're apart from each other. You want some more reminders that he's thinking of you, he's with you in some way, you really matter, you're not away from his mind or heart.
Yeah.
But yeah. You fear that if you bring it up, you're going to be seen as a burden or too overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so it seems like you want to figure out how to feel better and more grounded without bothering him, I guess. Is that like what you're...
Yeah. Yeah. Or just it not feeling forced, you know, it's kind of like, well, if I ask for it, then am I just going to feel like, he's not, you know, this isn't really like feel right. This doesn't feel right for him. And I don't want to be like forcing him to change the person he is. But I mean, I did notice that like when I arrived back in New York, you know, he wrote the next day and like asked if I was exhausted and kind of updated me about him. And he sent along a selfie, which, cause I had said, I was like, unsolicited selfies are always welcome, which he used to kind of do at the start. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Oh, I'll send you one soon." And I went to the place of like being all bummed, like, "Oh, he's not going to send me a photo." But then he did the next day. So like, there are things where I notice, like if I say things that I like or want, like he's making the effort to make those things happen. Same way I made it clear that I like plans in advance, and he has a plan for us on the 6th and then our Valentine's Day. So,
yeah. So, you know, you and I like are new friends, right? Like we've gotten to know each other recently, and I've enjoyed that. But like right now we're sort of like talking in a more like intimate way where you're like talking to me about these struggles and anxieties that you're feeling and like the how much you like this new boy and you're excited about it, but you're feeling kind of like unbalanced and everything. And there was a point here where like you got a little weepy and teary because like this is like some heavy stuff, you know? And like as we're talking about it, I'm feeling really connected to you. I feel like this is like such a cute, attractive, lovely, honest version of who you are. And I'm feeling like really connected to you. And I would imagine that if you like displayed this part of who you are to this new guy, then he would also find it really attractive and very sweet. And so there's this part of me that like wants to encourage you to do that because it's fucking adorable and it's how you authentically feel, you know, and you're giving him the opportunity to connect with you. And I know that you're like, "Ugh, it's been 6 or 7 weeks. It feels like it hasn't been long enough," but you're kind of, you're struggling a little bit, at least sometimes, you know, when you're not getting as much texting. Yeah. And even while I'm telling you this, it seems like there's some emotions that are coming up inside of you. Yeah. What's that all about? Where's that coming from?
I have no idea. I don't know. It's a weird thing of like, I've done the thing too of dating someone for like almost a year and being so relax and never bringing up a conversation about where we are. And that's, you know, and then I get my answer a year later when I finally do. So it's like, I don't want to be the person that's taking too long to, you know if this person's going to be the type of relationship that I want. But I, there's something that I'm like worried to bring up too soon though, as well, because it's like, I am so, so crazy about him.
Yeah, we can tell.
That's so sweet. Yeah.
Amanda, do you feel like it's too soon?
Honestly, I don't feel like it's too soon. I think the sooner you can find out what the dynamic is when you share that you're feeling some anxiety or you need something or you want something, that's such good information. Mm-hmm. And I really get the fear of in some way harming the connection. Mm-hmm. So I want to say that's just really human of you, that you value something and want to keep it really safe right now.
Yeah. And I understand, like Amanda saying, like, I want that information too. I want that data. I want to know if you act a little bit more authentically anxious when you're feeling it and you express that, how he's going to react. And then you know, like, oh, he's being really comforting or he's being kind of aloof or he wants to be there, but he doesn't quite know how, or, you know, like, we don't know, right? And because we don't know, you're filling it in with all of this, like, anxious, worst case scenario, I'm too much or I'm not good enough, you know, sort of things. And so, you know, there's one, you know, like, I want you to continue to be able to, like, be aware of the narratives and the thoughts that are coming up and see if you can kind of like witness them and watch them instead of believe them. That's hard to do. That's like a lifelong process, whatever. Like, and you'll continue to like, we all continue to work on that as we go through life. But you have this opportunity to create like a healing moment and a healing relationship with somebody who seems like that they really like you. They might not understand exactly like what they need to do in order to like make you feel more connected. So you might have to give them those tools. But something you said earlier, like, well, if I just tell him how to like connect with me, then that feels like forced and it might not be genuine. And there's like another, now your fucking brain is doing some other fucking bullshit, right? Where it's just like, well, now he's giving me what I want and I'm still not going to believe it. So there's this part of you that's scanning for like, I shouldn't believe it. I shouldn't like feel connected, even if he gives me what I want, because I just laid it out. Now he's just sort of performing for me and that's not believable.
I was going to say, though, I at least don't think that too much. Like, I'm not that person of like, oh, if I ask someone to like take the trash out and they do, oh, it's just because I said it. Like, I do. I'm like, oh, he heard me. And that's so awesome that he's doing this to like make me happier. So I feel like I would have enough of that. But I guess I don't want him to feel like he's being forced, I guess. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm just really curious, though, Vicky, like under all the fear and anxiety, if you can kind of sort through it, what is it really at your core you want right now? Like if you could
like wade in general?
With him and with you, like if you could kind of wade underneath that, can you kind of tap into what it is you're really wanting?
I mean, I just really want to fall in love and have a person.
Yeah. That made you feel emotional. Yeah.
And we did, there was one moment when he was in New York, where he asked about my past relationship and I did start crying when he asked about it. And I just said, you know, there is a lot of pain there of like, this person is, you know, kind of rewriting who I was in the relationship. And that's really painful. And he, you know, then like held my hand and he just said, he's like, you know, he's like, I'm so glad you're telling me this. Like, he's like, this is the stuff that I live for and I love you opening up about it. Mm-hmm. So he seems, you know, he seems like to be very open with, emotions and things. I think just talking through it, it's like a lot of it too, is I think his last relationship, she was kind of like an unattainable kind of person. And so ever since like he spoke about the relationship, there's kind of an insecurity in me of like, oh, do I need to be the unattainable, cool musician girl who's going to be playing on stage and is so cool and just so caught up in her career and not as available. You know, there's like a part of me that like, I used to be that person. Like when I was like touring for years, it was like I had a dude in every city, you know, like I was the unattainable person and they all loved me. Like, and then it's like so often when you're vulnerable and like say how much you like, then they don't.
Then they go away. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the being the unattainable person and having those sorts of connections, that's not a real relationship.
No. I know.
Like, that's just sort of like this like funny little game that we play sometimes. It's like a cat and mouse kind of thing. And that's not like a real vulnerable, honest thing. And it seems like right now that's what you want. You want a real, honest, vulnerable relationship. And you want to be able to like be your true self. And there's a part of you that's just like, should I be like an unattainable rock star? Because that's really hot. And that's what his last person was like. I imagine he didn't fucking like that. And that's why they're not together anymore. And he's looking for something different. And he can see that inside of you. And it sounds like he was really connected to you when you've been really vulnerable and honest. And he's given you that positive reinforcement. And me and Amanda want you to trust that. Yeah. And kind of like sink into it. And we're not saying that like, call him, text him right now, tell him exactly what you want. Like, let's fucking go for it. We're just saying like, head more in that direction. Start going that way so that we can create like a little bit of relief, a little bit of relief, and then a little bit more. So that you don't have this like struggle of like, I should be somebody different, which is taking you further and further away from your authentic self, right?
Yeah. And I do think that I have been mostly authentic again, like in person of just express, like I say constantly, like, oh, I'm so happy to be. And he has said like, thank you for making my birthday like so special because you were here. And like, he is, and we met, I guess, like end of November and it did move quickly, but he spoke about that, like, oh, you know, it did kind of move quickly. Cause like every person that dates me somehow meets my parents almost right away. I don't know the whole, oh, I'm meeting the parents thing. Like, it just happens. And he met my parents like 3 days into knowing me. And and he was like, yeah, you know, it did all kind of move fast, but like in actually a great and romantic way. And I wouldn't change it in any other way. So
that's really
maybe
sweet.
It is all okay. Yeah. But I feel like this kind of conversation is probably better in person, right? I mean, to like text, it feels maybe weird. I don't know.
I love in person. Yeah. We misread each other so much over text. Can I touch on something really quick that feels really important to me? Back when Jeff was saying, it's so lovely to just see you be really tender and vulnerable and he feels so connected to you. I just want to ride on that for a minute. It is so lovely to see you show up so beautifully and vulnerably. And there's this really tender part of your heart. When you said, I just want to fall in love and have this thing, right? There's this piece of your heart that's like, I just want to experience love in all the ways it can like heal and expand me. And this person might be it. That is so beautiful. That is so, so beautiful. And you should run after that for the rest of your life. How can love heal and expand?
Well, I stupidly keep doing that. But I think it's because it keeps ending in heartbreak. It's like, at least so I don't do the whole like putting up a wall and never dating again kind of thing. Like, I always remain open. I don't know if that's for the best or not.
That is for the best. It's beautiful.
But
Well, Amanda, let's think about some like specific things that she can do and try. When are you seeing him next, Vicky?
So I am flying back February 1st, and he's probably picking me up from the airport that day.
Okay. Very sweet that he keeps picking you up from the airport. So between now and then, that's like a week, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You can talk to him in person about more of these things when you see him on February 1st. But until then, I want me and Amanda to try to like give you some things to do so you can start to feel like a little bit better. Amanda, off the top of your head, can you think of anything that she can do?
Well, I love this pattern and habit you have of really working at grounding yourself and pulling yourself back in. That's so beautiful. Even if you wait to talk to him in person, I don't think you should resist reaching out to him and communicating with him and making bids for connection. That's so mm-hmm. beautiful. And it sounds like you feel so much more calm when you are connecting. And it is not only natural, but totally okay for us to be calmed by each other, for us to move into relationship and say, my nervous system feels so much safer when our nervous systems are connecting. That's just biologically sound. So I think still doing that is so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a co-regulation process, right?
That's
like
right.
I'm feeling upset. Can you help me feel better? And this is what we do in relationship, right? And it needs to happen. It maybe can happen a bit more from now until you see him. I love that you're giving positive reinforcement. Continue that, but add something else. Instead of just the positive reinforcement, you can reach out more often. You can let him know what you're expecting then over next week when you're away, like when it comes to like texts or selfies or emojis. You can come up with texting you isn't like quite working. Can we like download the Marco Polo app so we can like send videos back and forth to each other? Like what else can we do so that we can like uniquely stay in touch? If you want, you can let them know like I'm missing you and I love missing you, and when I'm missing you I want even more of you. So can we plan some talks? I'm gonna like clear my schedule on these next few days. What works for you, right? So being like really upfront and intentional, and also like you asking for all of these things is not unattractive. It's just good communication. So like me and Amanda want you to be a good communicator, and that's like you asking for your more emotional needs to be met. I don't know, how are you feeling about this, Vicky?
Yeah, I mean, I think all of that is great. And again, when right before he came and visited me in New York, we did have a FaceTime while he was like home at his parents' place. Mm-hmm. And that was really nice. And I'm kind of just like, I want more of that. Like, why isn't he asked for FaceTimes? I want to like progress, you know? Mm-hmm. It's just like this fear of, I don't want him to feel like, oh, fuck, now I have to do this thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Also, if he is feeling that way, I guess he's not the right person in general. But
right. Yeah. And he might be sitting in his chair saying the same thing. Why isn't she asking to FaceTime me more? Why aren't we hopping on a phone call?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, exactly. We need the data. If you ask for more FaceTime, how does he respond to that? If you ask for more of your needs to be met, can he meet those needs? Does he try to meet those needs, but he's not quite good at it, so he needs a little encouragement or detail about how he can do that? So I want you to come back to us and give us more data. And the only way for you to collect that data is to like ask for more stuff, right? So do you feel comfortable asking for more FaceTimes?
Yeah, I think I do. I mean, I do, but I do. I get like a little kid where I'm like, oh God.
Yeah.
Like, please say that you want to as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You're really putting yourself out there and being vulnerable. And remember what me and Amanda said, that is the time where we feel the most connected to you. Like, I feel like you're like incredibly attractive and authentic in that moment. If he's your person, he will likely feel that too, right?
Yeah.
So let's give him that opportunity is the advice that I'm giving.
Great. Yeah. Yeah. It just makes you so much more accessible. And that is really attractive to people who want a relationship.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Be accessible. And I guess I'll find out then too, if that, you know, if he wants a relationship, then I guess as well from those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or what he needs too, right? Needs are so negotiable. So he can come back and say, oh, I want to give you what you need. And here's also what I need. And it doesn't have to be black or white or in or out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. He can offer up what he's able or willing or wants to give. And then you get to think about that. Or that you get to like ask for more or something different, right? Like we need to have that conversation. All that being said, the other alternative, which is you will survive, you can just keep on doing what you're doing and you're tolerating the anxiety. It's very difficult to do. Mm-hmm. Eventually, you probably will get to a place where it's not as overwhelming. And that's an option, right? But it seems like you don't like to hang out in this space. So here's some tools or some things that you can do. Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely.
Okay. Do you have any questions, Vicky?
No, I think that's very helpful.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to let you go. You have a really big smile on your face and you look very sweet. Me and Amanda are really interested in how it goes for this next week and talking to you next time. Okay.
Great. I can't wait. Okay. Thank you, guys.
No problem.
Thanks for chatting, Vicky.
I love Vicky. After this talk with her, I feel so connected to her. How do you feel about her?
Oh, my gosh. She's so sweet. And there's this really beautiful sensitivity to her that just makes her feel really present and alive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this was, you know, she's calling in and she has this issue and we're giving her advice. And this isn't like actually a therapy session. But one of the things that like reminded me of like being a therapist is sometimes when I'm talking to my clients, I get incredibly overprotective of them because they're coming in, they're being vulnerable and emotionally honest and sometimes teary and weepy, right? And there's this part of me that just wants to like hold them close and be like, I'll protect you. It's going to be okay. And then I start to do this thing that is common, but it's something that like a therapist needs to keep an eye on, which is like, if he doesn't fucking treat her right, I'm gonna fucking lose my goddamn mind, right? Like, I start to get like really protective and nervous, and like, I'm like, have a lot of feelings towards this guy that she's dating. Did you feel any of those feelings? Has that ever happened to you when you're being a therapist?
Well, definitely, I feel protective of the people I work with. For precisely that reason, right? They do come in and they're so honest and they're so vulnerable. And, you know, we know we're only hearing one side of this dynamic. Mm-hmm. I did feel really protective around Vicky when she was talking, really wanting her to feel good and to feel safe in this relationship and really wanting her to like put her needs out there a little more because that actually could help her feel more safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was watching, I was scrolling on TikTok as I do. And there was this podcaster that was sort of like giving, she's like a relationship. She just has opinions on relationships. She's not a therapist. And she was giving some advice to a caller being like, you know what? You need, if someone's not giving you what you want, pull away, detach, be avoidant, kind of like play this game. Don't give that to them. And she's like, I bet somebody told you that you should like express your feelings. And I bet a fucking therapist told you that. And it was... And it was a really like interesting moment for me where I was just like, oh, okay, yeah. There's people out there that are sort of like talking shit about therapists, us, who are telling people to like put their vulnerability out there. And I'm friends with a bunch of therapists and I follow a bunch of therapists. And I'm like, I think that this advice of like being authentically who you are, even at 6 or 7 weeks into a relationship, is good advice. But I think a lot of people think it's bad advice. And that you really have to protect yourself. The problem with that is that like, and we sort of talked about it with Vicky or I sort of mention it a little bit, is that like you're getting further and further away from who you really are.
That's right. Right?
And I think that like in our line of work, we're constantly encouraging, sometimes subtly or gently or a lot more directly, and being like, just be who you are. Just be who you are so we know what the fuck is going on, right?
Yeah.
We said it more kindly, but that's sort of like the message, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I think if we can remember, the way we start relationships is often the way that we end those relationships. And so what are we building into the foundation? You know, what are we germinating in this soil? Who do we want to be? How do we want to show up here? Let's do that from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it like sets the tone.
Yeah.
And like we were saying, you collect the data to figure out like, and there's a good chance that this new guy is not going to like be exactly how she wants him to be over this next week, right? But it will probably get her closer. It'll probably like, he'll probably do better, I imagine. And we're sometimes just like looking for like a little bit of relief. And I got the sense that she's really like, when she's not in person, she's really holding herself back. And I also got the feeling that like, she feels, I didn't say this, but like there's a part of her that maybe feels unlovable if she's her true self. You know what I mean? And so when I said, Vicky, I feel more connected to you now more than ever, I wanted to like show her that like your true self is actually probably the most, like is definitely like the most lovable part of you. And you could see that really, like she needed to hear that is what it looked like on my end.
Yeah. That was really, really beautiful feedback for her. It did seem like it really touched her. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting when we want something so badly, all of a sudden we know we could lose it, and then we are so calculated, right? And you can feel her being really, really calculated. How do I do this so that I'm really present, but that's so I'm not overwhelming or asking for too much, because I really want this experience with this person. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a good call. She is trying to be very calculating.
Yeah.
And these sort of like, you know, when she was talking about like, should I just be the aloof rock star that doesn't give a shit? If that's authentically you, go for it, babe. Like,
yeah.
If like, okay.
Yeah. But obviously it's not, right? She has this big, beautiful heart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so common for us to think about like who, you know, her saying like, who was the partner that he had last? Should I be like that? Right. Mm. Which gets you even further away from who you are and confuses yourself and confuses them. And because eventually you're going to show your colors. Like if this relationship does last a long time, she can't pretend to be like his ex-partner for that long, you know? So then there's going to be this sort of like reckoning of like, oh, this is actually who I really am. And so we're sort of encouraging you to be who you really are early on.
And also because if she can really be who she is, then she can see through those really authentic eyes, who is this person, mm-hmm. right? If she's somebody else, then she's mm-hmm. not really seeing who he is and how he's really responding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And sometimes like, we might ask the question like, are you picking up on something that this is like a bad match, right? Like, what does your gut say here? But it seemed like her gut was like, he's a solid dude. Like, he's pretty good, you know, and he wants to be in this relationship. And he's picking her up from the airport a second time. That's kind of huge, right?
That is really sweet.
Yes.
Yeah. That's very sweet. We didn't ask her that. I'm interested to maybe ask her when we hear from her again.
Yeah. And I think that she's going to like collect a lot of information. And so we'll be able to ask her that with even more awareness that she's, So I'm excited to see how it goes. I was happy to see her like with that smile on her face at the end of the call.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
We will see.
Hello, Vicky. How are you doing?
Hi, good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, I'm good. Great. How are you, Amanda?
I am doing really well.
good. We're so happy to see you back this week. Can you give us some updates on how your week has been and how you are feeling about what we talked about last time?
Yeah. So I am now in LA. I was in New York when I last talked to you guys. And I guess, you know, I confess I did not talk about my feelings yet with the guy because I'm seeing him tonight. But I felt like there was kind of a shift of, well, firstly, I felt very encouraged to be more vulnerable from our last session. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was very sweet that you guys pointed out the kind of appreciating the sensitive side of me, I guess, the part of me that I was like scared to reveal. So I feel a little scared in that sense. But it's interesting, this last week, we have consistently pretty much texted every day. And kind of every time that he would text, you know, I'd kind of just be like reinforcing like, oh, it's so nice to hear from you or things like that. And, you know, he said sweet things of like, I miss you. I'm excited to see you. So that all felt really nice. And I think through a week of thinking about things and admittedly reading literature that's kind of telling you the opposite of like, oh, let the man come to you, you know, the rules type behavior, but then also considering the other side of being the more emotionally available and saying what you want person. So I feel like I've come to this like in between both extremes, maybe. So in my mind, it's kind of like after Valentine's Day and stuff, to just voice to this person like, hey, I really like you and I would love to feel more connected when we are apart and wonder if, you know, would you like to be FaceTiming or do phone calls while I'm out of town? Mm-hmm. So to me, that feels like fair. Like I'm saying, I'm coming from a vulnerable place, but without being like, I need to know what we are. We need to be exclusive, which obviously was not what you guys were encouraging to say anyway.
Right. It feels like there's a different vibe, like you're bringing in some different energy. I think that last week when we talked to you, you were coming from a place of like anxiety, some insecurity, not quite sure exactly what to do or what to say. There is sort of like this, like, should I be authentically asking for what I want? I'm like, and you're feeling maybe a little confused. And now it seems like you're feeling more clear-headed. You actually got like some really good connection just sort of organically, it sounds like. And you continue to like positively reinforce that. So it seems like there's like more groundedness and more relief that you're feeling today. Is that true?
Yeah, definitely. Which also made me just kind of reflect on like, I'm not that complicated. Like just a text saying that you miss me or that you're thinking about me goes a long way. Like I wish I was not like this, but I do kind of need that reassurance. Like it means a lot to me, you know? Mm. So I think that helped, but also again, like what you guys said last time really stuck with me and was very sweet and made me feel like, oh, maybe it's not so bad. And like, what am I so scared of? You know?
Yeah. I love this framing for him. I really like you and I'd love to feel more connected when we're apart. That just feels so clear, so kind. And it's just saying what you want in this really accessible way. And I would love, I just heard you say, you know, I wish I wasn't this way, but I do need that reassurance, those texts that say, I'm thinking of you and missing you. And you know, what I think is I'm so glad you're that way. I'm so glad you're a human who realizes when I'm apart from my person or apart from anybody I love, I want to stay connected. I need those pings of reassurance because we live these really separated lives. We live in different spaces and different cities and different continents than our core people. Of course, you need that reassurance and those moments of connection. We want to know we're in people's minds and hearts. I'm really glad you are that way.
Well, thank you. It's my anxiety when that comes up. It's when I don't want to be that way.
Because it feels like you're too much or
It just feels so overwhelming. Like I truly get like a whole kind of physical experience of it where I just feel this like, oh, it's going to end, you know, like this sadness of like, oh my God, I'm going to be lonely again. I'm not going to, you know, and I did have the other night, like I'm in a better mood today, but I'm also seeing him tonight. So there's that. The other day I did get very low on the whole situation. I felt very insecure and was like, oh, you know, I should be still dating other people while, you know, I don't know what we are. And I opened the apps and then got very depressed by the options and did get into that like scarcity mindset, which I think is something that I really suffer from and can be hard to get out of like thinking like, oh, well, if it doesn't work out with this person, then there's never going to be anyone else that I connect with. Mm-hmm. And that's like a really overwhelming and scary thing that I experience a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys relate to that, but it's not fun to feel that way.
Oh yeah, sure. I totally get that. I can feel that way sometimes too. And there's been dozens of times where I felt that way. And then I created a dating app profile. That I feel like that's like a, like, and sometimes I'm like just looking for validation through the dating apps. And sometimes I'm just looking for bits of connection. It's usually not the best idea to start a profile when you're coming from that place, but it's like incredibly understandable. And probably most people are getting on the apps for that reason. And it's also like not the worst idea to date around before you are like official with somebody, right? So that's like a very, you know, of course you're going to think that. And a lot of times that helps people make it so that like not all their eggs are in one basket kind of thing. And you can feel like there's more options. You're not as attached to one specific person. Has that worked for you before where like you sort of like date around and then you can feel less anxious?
Definitely. Like, I mean, that's been super helpful in the past before, but I do know that there's always a kind of turning point for me. Like when I'm really sold on someone and I really like them and I know I just want them, it's like, I'm making myself go on these dates, but there is just, it's kind of like, oh man, like, no, I want this person. And I very much feel that way with the guy that I'm seeing now. Like, I'm like, I want to lock this down with you 100%. But I guess I'll do this until you know your pacing. Because I do think there's something, there has been clear signs of him kind of pointing out the need to go slow with this. Like in kind of friendly conversation about something where he was just saying, he's like, I think there's something really beautiful and amazing to the relationships that take a little longer to progress. And, you know, you kind of like really establish like friendship even first and become, you know, more, which I do agree with. And my last relationship that was 5 years, like it took us like 6 months until we knew that we really were sold on each other. And, and it was a good relationship until it wasn't, but, right. So I don't know. There's like something of like, how do you match the pacing with your partner, but while also being like authentically you and expressing what you need, I guess.
Ugh, that's so tricky. Do you feel like there's a good answer to that, Amanda? Because typically, like, you are going at different paces when you first start a relationship. And the person who wants to go slower is, I feel like they kind of have the power, don't they?
Yeah.
And that's it's a difficult thing to resolve when you're the one that doesn't have that specific type of power. Do you suggest anything to folks, Amanda?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I think if there's a way to reframe it in our minds that the person who wants to go slower has more power. And I don't, you know, we can do that in a bunch of different ways, but do they really have more power? You can leave at any time or you can say what you want at any time, or you can say I'm hopping back on the apps or, so there's a lot of, we always have a lot of agency, but we feel really helpless when we think somebody else is controlling the pace or the timing or the contact or the intimacy.
Exactly. And there's, I feel like when somebody wants to move slower, we like automatically think like, well, then they're the healthier one. Like they know what's going on. They get to decide what the pace is and that we just have to kind of like allow that to happen. And like Amanda is saying, like we have agency where we could stop it. We could ask for more. We could ask for just like a little bit more communication. We can find a compromise. And we tend to forget that, especially if we're like maybe like sort of more anxious daters. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think what you've done so far, just like giving positive reinforcement whenever he does contact you, seems to be working. At least it's definitely working this past week, right? So
yeah, that's good. And it felt much better. And I mean, I did kind of go over the scenario in my head of like, if I say, you know, that I want to be in contact more, and imagining the scenario if he was like, I'm not ready to give that. I don't want to be in a relationship, which I don't think that's what the reaction would be. But if it did. And I like totally started crying, like imagining that scenario. Like I really don't want it to end. I get emotional thinking about it now. Like I think he's awesome and I just want to continue to get to know him more. And I do wonder though, like, is the whole me being in New York and him here a factor as well? Cause he has asked too, like, what's happening with the job? Are you just there indefinitely? And I don't know if it was from a relationship consideration or if it was just randomly asking, but, you know, I'm trying to like make it so that I'm back in LA, but, and that's what I expressed to him. And that's, I don't know. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. It's really hard to hold the unknown and the like liminal spaces and just stay in them knowing it's not really one thing or the other yet.
Why is it such a nightmare for us as humans to like sit in that space? Why can't we just be totally comfortable? Like, yeah, that nothing is in our control. We can just kind of, we got to just see what happens. Like crazy crap could happen tomorrow. I could get hit by a car. Who knows?
Yeah.
But we can't stand it.
Yeah. It's the thing that's in our control is like being intentional and conscious and loving. Right. But then there's all of these other things that
we cannot control
are so outside of our influence. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard to tolerate.
And you're looking for like security. When you like something, you want something and you want to feel a secure attachment to it, you know, and you've had experiences in the past where things have gone awry or it hasn't worked out the way you wanted it to. And so you're fearing that that could happen again. You know, and you know, there's like some fun things about not knowing what's going to happen. There's some anxious things about, you know, and so you're kind of like going back and forth. I know that you know, just for like transparency's sake, you and I texted, DM'd a little bit in the middle of the week. And it was like a cute exchange where you're like, well, what do you think about this, Jeff? Where you like sent me like a little, like a book that you're reading that's sort of like rulesy based, you know, like pull away. If they pull away, then you should pull away or something. And I feel like I totally get why we are magnetized to that sort of stuff, because it feels like you have more control, right? Mm-hmm. Is that the thing? Like, what do you think pulls you into that sort of advice?
I think reflecting on my own experience, I feel like I think when I think of times that I'm not entirely sold on someone, I do notice that like, yeah, if they're slightly inconsistent or they suddenly are not as available, then I put more value on them, as annoying as it is. But because I'm not someone that likes that whole chase thing, and I'm not someone that like likes the jerk. I like nice men, luckily. but I do notice though that even in myself, who is not really of that belief that you should be, you know, distant and stuff, there's something that kicks in. There's maybe, I don't know if everyone has it. Maybe it's like a human nature thing. I'm not sure. But so I think of myself on the flip and I'm like, well, I've been more enticed. I found the person more enticing when I'm not 100% there. So I think like then trying to get in that mindset and trying to recreate that in them becomes appealing. Does that make sense?
Like you being less available because maybe it will entice them to come towards you.
Yeah, where they're just suddenly like, oh, this person's not available every second, doesn't write me these long texts. Like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Can I ask, by the way, I know you guys are therapists, so maybe I'm not allowed to ask this, but are either of you like secure attached or are you guys anxious, avoidant? Am I allowed to ask that?
Oh, you can ask.
Totally.
Yeah. Amanda, what are you?
You know, I think that I trend towards more anxious attachment, and I've really practiced secure functioning in relationships. So I think what I've learned over time is it kind of doesn't matter if your scaffolding is secure or insecure as much as how you choose to function in the relationship, because insecure attachment is not pathological. Half the population is insecurely attached and very high functioning and very loving. But I think my nervous system would trend towards anxiety, and I think my skill set over time has become more secure functioning. Although I also think even for really securely functioning people, like at the scaffolding level, when they feel threatened, they turn to insecure functioning. I don't think anybody's just like a saint when it comes to being secure in relationships. We all fight for survival.
Except for me. Except for Jeff, the therapy
Jeff is a saint. I don't know if you can see the halo around his head. What's your attachment style, Jeff? Tell us.
That was just like, I love that answer, Amanda. And it's like such a, it's like a very, like you're accepting of like who you are and what you trend towards and the skills that you've learned, and sort of like know that it's like a lifelong process and very dependent on the person that you're with. You know, that's kind of like what I got from your answer. And it's also a very therapist answer, which is on brand since you're a therapist.
Well, and I think that's important to recognize it. We do switch depending on who we're with and what the energetic exchange is. Mm-hmm. We do really, yeah. Like there are people I have been so avoidant of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for which sure. I've done both for sure too.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I love to do both. It's my favorite thing to do both.
And keeps I think people that, on their like, toes.
Exactly. I think that when I was like a teenager and in my 20s, I trended more towards like an anxious attachment. Eventually in my 30s, I found something, you know, I found a way to be more secure. But now it's very dependent on who I'm with. I'm most of the time secure. But I'm like 50-50 now on how anxious or avoidant I'm going to be. If you were to like ask my last three ex-girlfriends what I am, they would all say I'm avoidant, and they're all wrong. But that's how they experienced me, so they're probably right. Yeah, there's your answer. I really like the, like where you are mentally and emotionally right now, Vicky. I think that you're in a really good place. I love the plan that you have to like to talk to him about where everything is going. And I'm excited for you to see him tonight. I think we officially solved your problem. You're cured now. You're welcome.
Yes. Thank you.
But we also want an update. So you and I will keep in contact, and maybe you'll come on the pod a little later.
Definitely. Anytime.
Okay.
Sure, there'll be plenty more problems that come up.
Probably. All right. It was good talking to you, and I'll
great
talk
talking
to, you later,
to both Vicky. Of you.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. Thanks, Vicky.
So that was really sweet, and I enjoyed talking to Vicky. She's the best. How do you think that went, Amanda?
Yeah, that felt really good. She seems in such a more centered and grounded place in herself.
It does seem like that. I think, you know, the main reason is because we're so healing, but also she's seeing her boy tonight. And so like finally now she's gonna see. And when we talked to her last time, it was like, oh, it's a week away. And sometimes right. that week, and also she's in New York, so she's 3,000 miles away, you know?
Yeah.
So you're feeling like incredibly disconnected. And she was literally and figuratively. So I understand.
Yeah. It's hard to have two people's energy be so far apart and still feel connected. Different time zones, different rhythms of life, different cities.
Yeah. There's also the something I just thought about now is like a lot of times when I talk to my real clients, Vicky is not a real client of mine, but when I talk to my real clients and I'm like, oh, well, maybe you should speak up or get your knee or whatever I say. And then they come back and they're like, well, I didn't do that. But it's going great. Like there's something that, and there's like, there's a lot of relief in that, right? Of like, ugh, now I have to go and express what I want. And oh, thank fucking God, I don't have to do that because things are shifting. And then you quickly are like, no, I don't need to do that. And I'm not saying that like Vicky still really needs to do that or she didn't do the homework or something like that. But it's kind of like, okay, well, as a therapist, I'm like, we'll see. Like maybe you didn't have to say that this week. Maybe you have
it'll come up again.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a theme. You can grow here.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, like a lot of these calls, we're probably going to continue sort of like touching on, attachment styles, romantic attachment styles, right? And there's the secure attachment style, the anxious attachment style, the avoidant attachment style. For about what, like 3 to 5%, or maybe just around 3%, there's like the disorganized attachment style, like 3% of us might qualify for that. And I think you make a good point. You made a good point during the call that like it doesn't have to like be the whole thing. It doesn't have to define us. And it's also like a spectrum. And maybe it's better to look at it as like you're either feeling securely attached or insecurely attached. An insecure attachment is the avoidant or the anxious or the disorganized one. And sometimes we respond in different ways. But what do you think is like the main difference between being securely attached or insecurely attached?
Yeah, good question. I think securely attached folks typically enter into relationships in their life knowing I can get my needs met here and so can everybody else. And I think insecurely attached people want everybody's needs to get met, but the experience is often, I have to make sure I get mine met. I hope you do too, but I'm going to take care of mine. And I think securely attached people really just have this sense of, either everybody's needs are getting met or nobody's needs are getting met. And so we're just going to meet everybody's needs. It's like deep democracy in relationships. And I think insecurely attached people just don't feel like that. They feel like it's me or them, or I'm the only one looking out for me and I have to make sure I can figure this thing out.
Yeah. I think that's an incredibly difficult concept to comprehend if you're feeling insecurely attached, that
everybody's needs can get met.
That everyone's needs can get met. And that if there's a conflict or an argument or some needs aren't getting met, that the securely attached folks are going to be like, oh, hold on. How can we all feel okay here? Might happen through compromise, or it might be some like really interesting solution that we come up with, or maybe we're looking at this differently, or let's meet yours, now let's meet mine sort of thing. When the insecurely attached folks, like Vicky was sort of saying, you default into scarcity of like only one of us maybe is going to get their needs met. And then it becomes like this really anxious story that you start telling yourself. And then you start like acting it out with your insecurely attached partner and it becomes a reality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. What has helped you become more secure?
I mean, what has helped me? I think, you know, I've gone to like over 15 years of therapy.
Good job.
I know, right? And I'm like the kind of person that likes to sort of jump around with therapists. I don't want to be talking to the same one forever. And so that's been really helpful to have like slightly different perspectives. Also like as I've gotten older, I've seen that like I know how to like work through issues with partners who also want to work through issues with me. That's been really helpful. I've gotten a lot better at like picking people that I know will like bring out the security in me and I'll bring that out with them. I know that when I'm like making a bad choice of like, oh, this could be a dumpster fire and fuck it, let's see what happens. And then I don't have any expectations that anyone's going to feel secure. You know what I mean? So my picker is better. I've just sort of like, as I get older, I'm a little bit more grounded and have like better perspective and tools in order to like work through things. And there's like this, I know how to tolerate my anxiety better, and the, like, this too shall pass bullshit is right. Like usually like whenever I feel anxious, it goes away. Whether it's because I talk to a friend or I call you or I talk to my therapist or I just let it be, it always goes away and I make it through, you know?
Yeah.
So I think those are the reasons.
Those are great reasons. Good job working on that.
Thank you, Amanda.
Yeah.
We have reached the end of the show. I'm really happy that you and I worked together to talk to Vicky, and I can't wait for our next episode when we check in, when we talk to our next caller.
Lovely.
Okay. Bye.
Bye. Problems. Hey, okay. We like that.